Owen and Hazel got to their feet and looked at it.
The girl had guts.
Owen winced and moved over to Giles, who was sitting up and shaking his head muzzily. Owen helped him up.
You took a disruptor blast point blank in the chest. Why aren't you dead?
Force shield. I've been working on it since Etaldama. Takes a lot out of me, but I think I'm getting the hang of it. You could do it too, if you practiced.
Never seem to have the time. You know how it is. When you're running a rebellion, it's one damn thing after another.
The rebels dusted themselves off and turned back to face the throne. Lionstone stared back at them unflinchingly.
You always break my favorite toys. Very well. Let's try something else. Owen Deathstalker? Hazel Dark? Code Blue 2-2.
She smiled triumphantly as she spoke the control words implanted in Owen and Hazel's minds by the treacherous AI Ozymandias. But then her smile faltered as they just stood there unmoved. Lionstone tried the control words again. Owen smiled at her. That won't work anymore. We've moved beyond that. Lionstone spun on Jack Random.
You are still my creature. Obey me! Kill your friends!
Random smiled and shook his head.
Sorry, Lionstone. I'm not under your control. Never was. Control words won't work on what we've become. I only went along to be sure of ending up here, right in front of you. Just in case Owen and the others didn't make it. Ruby went along with it when she realized what I was up to.
If I'd known it entailed being chained up like an escape artist and kicked around like a rag doll, I'd have thought twice about it.
I had to be convincing. Besides, you're always telling me how tough you are. I knew you could take it.
Well, next time I'll be the one in charge and you can get chained up and see how you like it.
Kinky. Remember, Ruby, it's all for the cause.
Stuff the cause. I'm in this for the money and don't you forget it.
Random sighed, shook his head, and turned to look at Alexander Storm. The two men who used to be friends stared at each other.
I've been having my suspicions about you for quite a while, Alex. Little things I was beginning to remember about Cold Rock. Things about you that didn't add up compared to the man I used to know. I put it down to age at first. We all change as we get older. But I didn't want to believe how much you'd changed till you used the control words on me. So I went along to find out who you really were these days. Damn it, Alex. Did I really let you down so badly? I never meant for you to be hurt.
Oh, you always meant well, Jack. You promised me all kinds of things, but you never delivered. So I went to people who would keep their promises. People I could trust. They looked after me, treated me well. More than you ever did.
Random sighed and met Storm's gaze unflinchingly.
You poor bastard. You could have come to me any time, told me. We could have worked something out. I would have understood. You were my friend, Alex.
You were always so bloody understanding. Saint Jack, the hero and savior of the downtrodden, who had time for everyone but his friends. I got sick of your endless nobility, of having to be the selfless hero again and again, and to hell with the lives we might have made for ourselves. This is all your fault, Jack. You made me what I am. You're responsible for everything I've done. And now I'm going to die here. Because of you. I know that. But I'll hurt you one last time before I go.
Storm surged forward, a hidden knife suddenly in his hand, heading not for Jack Random, but Ruby Journey. His knife flashed for her throat before Random could even begin to react. But Ruby's hand came up impossibly quickly, slapped the knife aside, and then she punched Storm over the heart with all her strength behind it. Her fist sank in as far as the wrist. Storm stopped in his charge, as though he'd run into a brick wall. Just an old man who'd been hurt so badly, he couldn't even breathe. The knife fell from his hand as the feeling went out of his fingers. Random was quickly there at his side, but by the time he'd taken Storm gently by the shoulders, the old man was already dead, his heart crushed to a pulp by a single blow. Random stood up and looked at Ruby.
He was my friend for a long time.
I know. That's why I killed him, so you wouldn't have to.
Random nodded. He couldn't bring himself to thank her. Not now. Maybe later.
This is all very interesting, not to say sentimental and downright sickening. But the game isn't over yet. I still have a few cards left to play. Let's try an obvious one this time. Guards! A lordship to whoever brings me the Deathstalker's head!
The guards, standing in ranks behind the throne, rushed forward as one, their holographic disguises as burning angels falling away to reveal the armored men beneath. The monofilament swords in their hands were real enough, though. Power-driven swords with an edge a single molecule thick, capable of cutting through anything. That many men with that kind of weapon could have stopped an army in its tracks. So the rebels didn't let the guards reach them. Jenny's psycho gestured, the power units that maintained the monofilament edge suddenly shorted out, and the swords were suddenly just swords again. While the guards were coming to terms with that, Random and Ruby hit them with a rolling wave of pyrokinetic fire. The guards burst into flames, some dying immediately, others turning and running, as though they could leave the deadly flames behind. As they ran, they lit the court like so many blazing candles, until one by one they fell and guttered out. Lionstone stared blankly at the charred and steaming carnage around her throne, and then turned to her maids-in-waiting.
Kill them! Kill them all!
Maids surged forward like attack dogs unleashed. Pointed teeth showed in their snarling mouths, and steel claws snapped out from under their fingernails. They were trained and deadly beasts of prey, conditioned to die rather than fail, packed with cybernetic augmentations. And Jenny's psycho stepped forward to meet them alone.
This has gone on for far too long. It's time to end it now.
Her mind leaped out and dropped upon the maids, sinking deep into their minds and battling the conditioning at its roots. The maids fell to the ground, screaming and crying out, rolling and clawing at the floor like animals as an invisible war was waged in their minds. Jenny ripped away the conditioning with her esp, undid the neural connections, and reconstituted the damaged brain tissues, returning the maids to who they had been before Lionstone took them to be her slaves. It was all over in a few moments, and then Jenny withdrew from their minds. The maids stopped their animal behavior and sat up, suddenly human again for the first time in years. At first they were stunned, and then slowly they came to themselves, their old selves. Some screamed and tried to hide their nakedness. Some screamed, remembering what they had done, had been commanded to do by Lionstone. They shook and shuddered, unable to cry with their artificial eyes. And some just looked around them in utter confusion. Toby Schreck stared intently at one of the maids, and then stepped forward.
Clarissa? Clarissa, is that you?
She looked at him blankly for a moment, and then recognition flooded her altered face.
Toby! Cousin Toby!
She ran forward into his arms. He held her tightly for a moment, and then took off his battered jacket and wrapped her up in it. Clarissa looked around her, at the hell Lionstone had made.
Are we dead, Toby?
No, love. You're alive again. The rebellion is here, and all the prisoners are being set free.
Toby looked back at the others.
She's family. Gregor's niece. Lionstone took her as a maid and made a monster out of her. And there was nothing any of us could do. Thank you, Jenny. Strikes me there are a lot of people who are going to want to thank you, too.
No big deal. I think there's been enough fighting and killing. That's Lionstone's way. We're supposed to be different. You and Flynn look after the maids. We still have work to do.
And as Toby and Flynn gathered up the maids and ushered them away out of the line of fire, Jenny moved back to confront Lionstone again. And then she stopped and looked around sharply as Captain Silence moved uncertainly forward, staring at her searchingly. She looked at him flatly, not making it any easier for him. But eventually, recognition flooded into Silence's face.
Diana?
Not anymore. That was somebody else.
I hardly recognized you. You look so different.
It's called growing up, Captain. Happens to everyone eventually.
You knew this person?
Of course he does. This is his daughter, Diana Virtue. Ship's Esper on his last command.
Silence looked at Frost.
You knew? How long have you known?
I recognized her face on a security posting some months back.
Then why didn't you tell me?
You weren't ready to handle something like this. I'm not sure you're ready now. And I didn't want you distracted from your other responsibilities.
Silence turned back to Jenny.
I'd heard you joined the underground. But what happened to you? To your voice? You look...
Like I've been through hell? That's because I have. This place doesn't frighten me. I've seen the real thing. I'm not Diana Virtue anymore. She died screaming in the Esper interrogation cells in Silo 9. Worm boy hell. I'm Jenny Psycho now. For now and always. But then we're both different people than we tried to be, aren't we, Father? You've changed too. This close, I can feel the maze's energies working within you. How does it feel, Father, to know you've become the same kind of person you used to track down and kill?
Diana.
Jenny! I'm Jenny now!
All right, Jenny. I never knew they'd put you into Silo 9. If I'd known, I'd have...
You'd have what? Smashed your way into one of the Empire's most strongly guarded prisons to save me?
Yes. If I'd known, I would have come for you.
Jenny nodded slowly.
Yes. Maybe you would have at that. But you didn't. On the planet Unseelie, you promised me you'd never let me be hurt again. You lied, Daddy.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm so sorry.
And now here we are, on different sides of the war. And all because of the Iron Bitch. How can you still defend her after all she's done? After all she had done to me?
She's my Empress. Lionstone jumped down from her throne, stalked over to Silence, and slapped him hard on the face. His head rocked under the blow, but he held his ground. Lionstone stuck her face right in front of his, so close that when she spoke, her spittle sprayed his cheeks.
Traitor! Damned traitor! You hid your powers from me. You failed in every mission I gave you, and now I find your own daughter as one of my greatest enemies!
That's all true, but you are still my Empress.
Lionstone laughed in his face and drew back her hand for another blow. And then she gasped, her eyes widening, as an unseen force gripped her hand firmly and jerked it back. She tried to break free and couldn't. She looked across at Jenny Psycho, who was scowling at her.
That's enough of that, bitch. That's my dad you're messing with.
I appreciate the gesture. But let her go, Jenny. Please.
Jenny reluctantly released the Empress and gave her a mental shove that sent her stumbling back toward her throne. Lionstone quickly regained her balance and seated herself on her throne again with defiant dignity. She was still the Empress, and she still had weapons she could use. She glared around her, and her gaze fell on Valentine Wolf.
Don't look at me. I know a lost cause when I see one. I could fight for you, I suppose. I have drugs for that. But I really don't see the point. The rebellion's time has come. It would seem I jumped ship from the underground a little too early. So I will withdraw to the sidelines and offer my services to whoever comes out on top. People like me are always useful.
You're not fighting because you're afraid your makeup would get smudged.
That too.
Do you really think you can be forgiven for what your war machines did on Viramond? For the slaughter and suffering and horror you brought to a helpless farming people?
I was only obeying orders. Not in a regional excuse, I'll admit. But then the old jokes are always the best. And I can be very loyal for the right rewards. And I'm sure the underground leaders will recognize my worth. I know things, you see. Things the underground will need to know if it's to take control of the Empire without unnecessary suffering and destruction. Which is more important to you, Deathstalker? Seeing me punished or rebuilding the Empire with the minimum of bloodshed? No, they'll pardon me, no matter how much the rabble scream for my head. I'm just too valuable to waste. Not to worry, Deathstalker. You've still got Lionstone to kill. Enjoy yourself. Knock yourself out. It's not every day you get to murder an empress.
Execute.
Don't you just love euphemisms?
Lionstone turned desperately on her throne to her two bodyguards.
Razor! Summer Isle! Defend me!
No, I don't think so. Because of you, David died on Viramond. I only came back here for a chance to watch you die at close quarters. And do the job myself if necessary. My David is dead. I'll enjoy watching you die, Lionstone.
Razor drew his sword and spun it around in a vicious sideways arc aimed at Kit's neck. But for all his swiftness, he couldn't catch the Summer Isle off guard. Kit's sword was in just the right place to block the blow, as though he'd known all along what Razor was going to do. And maybe he had. He was Kid Death, after all. The two men sprang apart and then circled each other warily. Two practiced killers close together at last in a match that would finally decide which of them was better. Their swords slammed together, withdrew, and then spun through a dazzling series of cuts and parries. Razor was an investigator, trained since childhood to be the perfect killing machine in the Empire's interests. Kit Summer Isle, Kid Death, was a natural-born psychopath with a genius for swordplay and slaughter, who had killed his whole family just for the fun of it. Two men who had taken death as their mistress and knew nothing of quarter or mercy. And in the end, talent won out over training, as Kit dared Razor into a Korakor, smiled at him over the crossed swords, then stuck a dagger in Razor's ribs with his other hand. Razor looked startled for a moment, as though he couldn't believe it was happening. Then he fell to his knees as the strength suddenly went out of his legs. Kit knelt down with him and pushed the dagger in a little deeper. Razor dropped his sword. He met Kid Death's eyes unflinchingly and even managed a sneer.
You only beat me because I'm old and slow, boy.
No, I beat you because you still cared whether you lived or died. And I never have. Now shut up and die. I have business to be about.
He pushed the dagger in one more inch, and the light went out of Razor's eyes. He fell backwards and lay still. Kit waited a moment to hear the last dying breath go out of his enemy, and then he smiled briefly, took back his dagger, and got to his feet. He nodded to Owen.
The Empire killed David, not me. He was the only friend I ever had. Guess I'm back in the rebellion again.
What makes you think we want a lunatic like you?
Kit raised an eyebrow.
Look who's talking. No, they'll take me back. You will always need someone like me. Someone to do the dirty jobs no one else wants to do. I don't care. I'm a killer. I go where the killing is.
One of Lionstone's hands rose slowly to tangle its fingers in her hair, pulling loose, long curls of pale blonde strands. Her eyes were wild and staring, her mouth a flat, thin line.
Will no one defend the Empress in her hour of need? Is there not one loyal subject left to me?
Hell, I suppose there's always me.
Dram strode forward and set himself between the throne and the rebels.
I've always been yours, Lionstone, till death do us part. You gave me life, gave me everything. And if my life's been a little shorter than most, it sure as hell hasn't been boring.
Dram grinned at Owen.
I had a great time on Viramond, Deathstalker, watching your peasants run before me, striking them down and trampling them underfoot.
stamping the spilt blood into the furrowed earth, and watching the towns burn in the early morning light. I ate your world up and spit it out, Deathstalker, and loved every minute of it. I am Dram, the Widowmaker, the undefeated. And after I've killed you and your friends, I'll lead the forces that will drive your rebellion back into the gutter where it belongs. You never really stood a chance. You're scum, the lowest of the low, the dirt under our boots. Step forward, Deathstalker, and I'll cut your stupid head off and stick it on a pike.
Damn, he makes even longer speeches than you do, Owen.
Not to worry. I'll soon put a stop to that.
No.
Giles Deathstalker put a staying hand on Owen's arm as he started forward.
This one belongs to me.
Giles stepped forward, and Dram fell into a warrior's crouch, sword at the ready. Giles shook his head.
Amateur. You're not Dram, whoever you are. Dram was my son, and I trained him to be a far better swordsman than you'll ever be. I killed him on Hayden. It was necessary. When I walked in here and saw you standing by the throne, I knew I'd have to do it again. Killing my son almost destroyed me. But I don't think I'll have any problem killing a clone.
Dram looked at him strangely.
You're my father? I never knew. Lionstone never told me. I never knew I had a family. You mean I'm a Deathstalker too?
No. You're just a clone.
Wait. We have to talk about this.
No, we don't. You're not my son. You're not even human. How dare you wear my son's face?
Giles aimed his disruptor and shot Dram right in the face. The energy blast tore the clone's head off his body, which crumpled slowly to the floor. Lionstone looked at Giles, shocked. He smiled coldly at her.
What did you expect? Another duel? Another matter of honor settled sword to sword? I've done that. This wasn't anything as clean as a killing. Just exterminating some garbage that should never have existed in the first place.
He turned away, put up a hand to stop Owen when he moved forward to comfort him, and walked a little away to be by himself. Lionstone sat speechlessly on her throne, looking at the headless corpse lying at her feet. Captain Silence and Investigator Frost looked at each other.
Looks like it's down to us, Investigator.
Not for the first time, Captain.
Silence nodded to Lionstone.
We've been through lots of changes, Your Majesty, whether we wanted them or not. But our loyalty has never been in question. And if we kept our powers to ourselves, it was only so we could serve you better. Come on, Frost. Time to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat one more time.
Silence smiled at Owen and Hazel.
And we do have some unfinished business, you and I, don't we?
Damn right.
Hazel swept her sword back and forth before her, like a cat twitching its tail.
Daddy?
I'm sorry, Jenny, but this is a matter of duty. And I've always known my duty.
Damn it, we don't have time for all this posing. If I wanted to watch fencing displays and grudge matches, I'd go to the arena so I could do it in a comfortable seat with a cold drink and a big bag of peanuts. We're supposed to be fighting a rebellion here. This is just keeping us from the more important things. Like looting!
And Ruby raised her disruptor and opened fire on the Empress. But even as she was taking aim, Stelmach shouted something incoherent and threw himself between Ruby and the Empress. He took the energy blast high on the chest. It tore away his right arm and vaporized much of the upper right side of his chest, leaving him lying twitching and moaning at the foot of the throne. Silence and Frost were quickly there at his side, but it was clear the security officer was dying. He put out his remaining hand to Silence, who took it firmly in his.
All I ever wanted was to serve, to be loyal, to give my life for the Empress.
No one ever doubted your loyalty.
But Silence was talking to a dead man. He gently placed Stelmach's hand on his chest and patted it twice, saying goodbye.
Pity. He was a good man, in his way.
I'm surprised you cared.
I liked him. He was a coward, a weakling, and probably harbored rebel sympathies. But he did his best to be brave and do the right thing anyway. It's easy for us to be brave, with our training and abilities. All he had was guts, and a willingness to die for his empress.
And now it's our turn.
Silence got to his feet, Frost beside him, and together they took up their places before the throne. Silence smiled once at Jenny, then nodded to Owen.
Let's do it, Deathstalker.
Owen stepped up to face Silence, and Hazel moved forward to face Frost. Owen hefted his sword casually.
From what I've been hearing, Captain, you and the investigator gained abilities similar to ours from the Madness Maze. Which means we could raise our powers, go head-to-head, reduce the court to rubble, and kill everyone in it, and still end up in a stalemate. But say we do this the honorable way, just sword to sword. How does that sound to you?
Honorable, and what I'd expect from a Deathstalker. Besides, we've always wanted to know which of us is better with a blade, haven't we?
Damn right. Then let's do it. One last fight as humans before we forget how.
And so they went forward to meet each other. The last great champions of Empire and Rebellion. Four good people whose differing beliefs could not be reconciled, only decided at the point of a sword. Owen and Silence circled each other slowly, their swords clashing lightly, tip to tip, as they studied each other's style for openings and vulnerabilities. Hazel and Frost went straight at each other, hacking and cutting, slamming their blades together, fueled by a rivalry that was stronger than hate or rage. Owen and Silence stamped and lunged and recovered, both of them cold and calculating, testing their strength and skills to the limits, both trained in harsh and unforgiving schools. Their blades crashed together, sparks flying on the air. Neither man prepared to give an inch or retreat a step. Their swords flew so fast the eye could barely keep up, driven by skills and reflexes almost too quick for human thought. Owen didn't boost. It never occurred to him. He wanted to win this one fairly. He was fighting for a set of ideals, his own as well as the Rebellion's, and either he won fairly or his whole life had no meaning. Silence put all his strength into every blow, all his speed into every cut and parry, and still had to struggle to match the Deathstalker's attacks. The young rebel fought as though his life no longer mattered, only the winning. Silence tried to feel that way too. The whole Empire depended on him now. Everything he'd ever believed in and fought for. Everything that had given his life shape and meaning. But in the end, his surety wasn't as certain as Owen's. And perhaps that was why his sword was finally just that fraction slower. And Owen beat his blade aside, stepped forward, and set the point of his sword at Silence's throat. For a long moment, the two men just stood there, face to face, breathing hard from their exertions.